Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from the year 2001 and before. So we're here with Baylor.
Hello.
Angus.
Hello.
Lisa.
Hey.
Mackenzie.
Good news, everyone!
Alex.
Hey.
And Jeanette.
Hi.
And I'm Justin. So we're watching Futurama today.
Yay!
And Futurama is your choice, Lisa.
Yes.
Yeah. What is Futurama?
Oh.
I have barely watched it.
Okay, so Futurama is a animated TV show that was from 99 to 2013.
Yes, that's about right.
Yes.
Matt Groening, is that right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. So this was his kind of, well, it wasn't even a spin-off. He was doing Simpsons for a good decade, and then he jumped on board and did Futurama. They're both animated. They're both comedies, like primetime comedies, but they've got a very different feel. So whereas Simpsons more of your family type sitcom, someone once described it like if you kind of went like the Simpsons is your family sitcom, like the Brady Bunch or something. I know that's probably not a good example, but you know what I mean. Then Futurama would be like Friends. Friends set in the future. It's not really,
don't,
but you know,
that comparison because I don't like Friends.
It's kind of like your 20-somethings type sitcom, you know?
Okay.
But it's very like what the future. So,
I guess from the name.
Yeah. So Fry, a pizza delivery guy from 1999, he gets stuck in a cryogenic chamber and he's stuck in there for 1,000 years and he comes out 31st of December 2999 and basically then has to settle into life in the future and everything that entails. I just think it's
And what are
brilliant.
Some of the characters that are there with him then?
So we've got Fry, we've got who's...
Leela!
Who... Do you want to describe Leela?
Leela is...
She's stuck.
Leela is a boss lady with purple hair.
Yes. And she's one of the leaders.
She is.
Yeah.
She's the ship's pilot and she is strong and badass and is probably what the smartest one out of all of them. And yeah, she's awesome. Then you've got Professor Farnsworth who is
smart and makes inventions.
Yes, he's a scientist and he is Fry's great, 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 a million times nephew. And so that's where Fry
actually,
lives with him.
But
he's
like
112
or something.
112.
Yeah. So, and Fry
Bender Rodriguez.
Bending Rodriguez.
That's it. Bending Rodriguez.
Who's Fry's friend that he makes in the first episode and is...
He's a robot.
He's a bending robot. He's big drinking, big swearing, big womanizing.
Scandals.
Steals. He's just a rat bag. But him and Fry get along really well.
Yeah.
And then who else have we got? Shall we go through the whole lot?
Amy!
You like Amy?
She's amazing.
Her last name is Wong, and she always wears pink.
Yep. She's Farnsworth's intern, basically. Like, she's an engineering, you know, she's studying for a master's, I think, or something like that.
She's studying at Mars University, and they go to one episode.
So they've got their own ship. Do they do Star Trek kind of things?
No, so they do, they're a courier business.
Although Star Trek does actually come up, the original series does come up.
Yeah, you'd love that Star Trek episode.
Well, one character that I really like is Zoidberg.
I was going to do Zoidberg.
She cut in.
Zoidberg can... open cans if there is no power. That's very helpful.
Let Alex explain.
Yeah,
something.
No, basically he's a doctor who's... And the joke is that he doesn't actually know anything about human anatomy, even though he's the doctor with the ship with a company that Fry works for. So basically half his character is kind of like a borscht belt old guy who just does judgmentalisms. Part of it is the fact that he's an incompetent doctor and he's so poor that he just ends up eating everything he can. Like, one episode, they go back and accidentally create Roswell, and he ends up basically being the alien that they examine there. And this is one gag where basically they're trying to work out what he eats, and it turns out he eats everything.
But he's like part lobster. He's like a lobster
man.
Oh, lobster man, right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
And Hermes. I think Hermes is really cool.
Hermes is great.
Yeah.
He's just so laid back and is a bureaucrat.
Bureaucrat.
Yeah.
If I was a character on Futurama, I'd want to be Leela, but I'd probably be Hermes.
I would want to be Leela, but I would probably end up being Bender.
I love it.
So, Angus, have you watched much of this show at all?
I've seen a couple of episodes.
Right, so you're in the middle
years
ground.
Ago?
You're
yeah, I haven't seen all that
Bender's
much.
Bender's Big Game Together.
I might have seen snippets, but yeah.
That's something I think you guys would find really interesting. There's lots of D&D references. There's lots of like science fiction references.
Yeah.
There's lots of, you know...
Just one of the weird gags, just like background, you're in a shop and you can buy client bottles of beer.
Okay.
But like things that Groening really runs with is like old literature and old cult classic sort of references all the way throughout all of his shows.
So I'm trying to think
we watched an episode of Simpsons the other day and it was like it was the Itchy and Scratchy movie episode and he goes to the counter of the cinema and asks for Soylent Green. Soylent Green, and it's like unless you know Soylent Green you're like you don't get it, just go straight off your own
head.
So
if you don't know what
it is. I think there's like his episodes, there's like quite a few of time travel, there's one where he travels alternate dimensions, and there's one where they go to the edge of the universe and you can see into the other universe, which is the same except everybody wears a cowboy hat.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, but there's like ones where they do a Christine parody, but it's a werecar.
Yes.
And it ends up turning into the werecar. I think that's an amazing
I love that, but it's really scary.
Yeah, it scared me as well. I'm glad I wasn't the only
one.
Like
he was killing
me. And also, one of us said we meet Bender's evil twin, but it turns out that Bender is the evil twin.
Okay. We were thinking about that, doing that episode. And I think the end, to coin a Star Trek reference, the only difference between the two of them is he's got a goatee. He's like,
a little magnetic
goatee.
Okay, so what episode are we doing today then?
We changed our minds several times, didn't we?
Yes.
So we're doing Love's...
Lost in Space.
That's it.
Season one, episode four.
And this is a really early one. We could have done pretty much the first 2.5 seasons. Like, I think it's only up to season three where it goes up to 2001. Mackenzie and I had a lot of fighting over which episode we were going to pick, and then we had a lot of debating here over which episode we were going to pick.
I saw your Facebook status of, like, which one is the best one. And I asked my friend, who I watch Futurama with, and he's like, I mean, they're all really good ones. Who is asking such a silly question?
I know, right? You knew why. You knew why.
I explained, and he's like, tell them good luck.
Yeah.
That's why I just went, you know what? I'm going to bring all of the episodes and just go, guys, which one should we watch?
Yeah, I'm just thinking there are probably like only like 3 or 4 which are actually bad and I don't enjoy. And that's it for the entire...
There's only one episode that I don't watch. And what episode is that, Mackenzie?
The dog one.
Jurassic Bark.
Yeah.
There's an episode called Jurassic Bark. And I couldn't watch it for many, 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 many years. And I would watch the episodes over and over and over again. And I always skipped that one. And then when we were showing them to Mackenzie, she wanted to watch it. And I went, I can't. And in the end, one morning I said, you know what? Let's do it. Then you've watched it. Then you know what it's all about, but then you'll understand why I never want to watch it again. And so we finished watching it, and both her and I were bawling our eyes out.
Oh, no.
And my husband's just looking at both of us going, what am I going to do with you two? So,
I totally feel that. And I'm really sorry for the slight, very quick segue, but, like, I do the exact same thing with Star Wars Clone Wars. Like, I watch the saddest episodes, though, because I love them.
Oh.
And they've got great story. So I'm, like, the opposite of you in a way, because I would watch Jurassic Bark multiple times because I actually really, really appreciated the episode.
And that's the thing. It is a brilliant episode. I don't want to feel like that.
It's a tearjerker.
Definitely a tearjerker. And there's a couple of other ones that are a bit like that in Futurama as well, where they just blindsight you with the feels and you're just like, no, I didn't want that.
I think the last episode is definitely that episode, though. Mm. Like, I don't think I've ever been able to watch that without bawling my eyes out. Like,
one thing, and we'll go into it after we've watched the episode, is just the foreshadowing and the Easter eggs in these episodes. But we've got to watch the episode.
Yeah.
So,
so
this one is Love, Labour's Lost in Space.
Yes.
This is the episode where they first meet Nibbler and first meet Zach Brannigan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means nothing to you guys, but you'll enjoy it.
Zap Brannigan is basically...
Zap Brannigan is the reason that I love wearing velvet as much as I do.
Velour.
Okay. Yes.
I'm not even kidding. Like, legitimately, I have velour clothing because of him.
Okay, so on with Love's Labour's Lost in Space in Futurama. That was Love's Labour's Lost in Space.
So, you guys hadn't seen it before. What did you think?
What do you think, Jeanette?
It was funny.
Was it what you expected?
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think I've seen snippets of it. So I'm familiar with that, the robot, the characters. I've seen those characters before. I think it's one of those cultural artefacts that you're kind of aware of it and aware of who the characters are without watching it in display to them.
I've certainly seen those characters before. There's a Matt Groening fantasy
thing
as well.
A Disenchanted.
Yeah, I
started watching that and couldn't really get into it, but I could imagine myself getting into this.
Yeah.
The scripts are certainly better quality, I think.
Yeah.
Well, at least that episode was. Yeah.
I didn't dislike Disenchanted, but it's no Futurama.
And I've heard the exact same thing from, my friend who enjoys Futurama, and he was like, it's good, but it's not as good.
Yeah.
You know, I like the characters, the sort of, I guess, the enemy in this case, the captain, what was his name?
Zach Brannigan.
My God.
And he comes back in a few different episodes. Absolutely painful. But,
And they're very clearly based on a certain science fiction TV series captain who's been making the news of late. Being a egotistical.
Has to make it with every alien woman in the galaxy. And so, the second in charge, Kif, he's great as well. And he comes through. I don't know. Should I give it away? He ends up marrying Amy. The little green dude.
Kif and Amy end up getting together.
Kif is good.
He's the first mate.
The little green dude,
Okay.
It's the most unlikely pairing, but ends up working out. They get married and everything,
My best mate does this Kif sigh every time, like, something dumb is suggested. And when Futurama was really big, his housemate at the time picked up on it. And so we'd be like, hey, let's do this dumb idea. And he'd go, every time, every single time. It's beautiful.
So he escapes from Brannigan eventually, does he?
No. He's always working for Brannigan. So then it becomes a thing where Zap Brannigan comes into the episodes because he's linked to Kif. So there'll be something where, you know, Amy and Kif will get together and they'll try to, like, almost double date. And, like, Zap's like, oh, yeah, like, is Layla here? You know, and it's just like, no, leave me alone. Absolutely not interested, but he still chases her. Like you were saying earlier, like, he does that karaoke version of...
God. Lola, the Titanic version, like the Space Titanic sort of thing.
They met the creature Nibbles or
Nibbler.
And does he stay in the series?
Is it like that he's voiced by Frank Welker, is it?
Is it Frank Welker or Maurice LaMarche?
No, I think it's Frank Welker.
It's Frank Welker, who does just about every animal in animation.
But it also depends later. Spoiling for later episodes is we found out his real voice. It's basically a nice baritone man. He's like, I am Nibbler. I come from the future to... Because they need Fry for... Was it? Because Fry's brain doesn't work as everybody else's. He's the only one who can defeat the evil brain creatures in one episode.
So the Nibblonians are actually...
Because it's really dumb.
The Nibblonians are actually a really intelligent species, but they kind of keep it all under the radar and pretend that they're blue pets.
So definitely based on cats then.
Kind of.
So there's an episode where I think Nibbler cats goes against thing. Cats.
So is this something that's still going?
No, ran for 5 seasons, or 4 or 5 seasons on Fox. It got cancelled and got brought back by Comedy Central, which had 4 specials that were released on DVD before that was
like movie-length episodes.
Yeah.
And then they did 4 seasons worth on Comedy Central, and so they end up with 3 episodes, or 3 or 4 episodes, which are the last episode, because they thought the last episode was when it was cancelled originally, and it's a good episode. Then they brought it back, and they weren't sure if it was going to be for 2 seasons or 1 season, so they've got like 3 or 4 last episodes, and they're all quite well written.
But the very last episode, and I think because that was not the network trying to shut them down, this was... They knew that they were done. They knew that the show was over. Mm. And we were talking about it before. It is like the best episode. It is just such... Yeah. If you were going to end a show, it was such
you
a good way to do it.
You like that. Like,
it was incredible.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've said it before on this podcast. It is one of those series I don't think it decreases in quality. I think, you know, all shows have their episodes that are a little bit up and down. But I think the quality never lapses, which is not a very common thing. So,
So you've got a big pile of stuff here. Do you want to bring that out?
That's not mine. That's Alex's stuff.
That's Alex's stuff. This. So what have you got here, Alex?
Every
you've
single
got,
DVD.
He's got a lovely bag full of Futurama stuff. So what is all
this Futurama? It's just all the DVDs. So these are the first four seasons that aired on Fox. These are the movies and these are the ones that aired on Comedy Central.
Right, okay, and the seasons, each
one's season.
Season 6, season 5, up to 8, and then the four movies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how long is each series?
I think the first season's only like, what, maybe 6 episodes, 10 episodes, and then after that it's more and more.
Yeah, so like the ones that are on Fox were 26 episodes like they normally do, but the last four
26 episodes?
Per season,
So was that to get syndication? Because I think
that's how it happens on.
I think you have to get 100.
Yeah, that's what they expect.
Yeah.
Because, it's 13, 19, and then goes up from there, I suspect. Mm-hmm. Like, season one is 13.
Have they got you to watch the D&D movie of Futurama yet?
I got Angus to watch
it. Like I said, I have never watched a full episode before.
There's a few episodes. Gary Gygax? He's on a couple of episodes of Futurama.
Bender's Game.
Okay, yes, of course.
But yeah, it's the one episode where it's an alternate history. It's like they ask the imaginary one, and it gives an alternate history for if Fry didn't go into the deep freezer. And so Gary Gygax, Al Gore, and Uhura.
And Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking. Yeah, they're the one monitoring the time stream or whatever. So they end up basically trying to get Fry back into the pod. And it fails and the universe just implodes.
Yes. And they're stuck in time together.
I didn't realise that, but I love that. That's amazing. Because they actually played on the fact that the Uhura, the actual female actress.
Nichelle Nichols.
Yes, Nichelle Nichols is an incredible woman and very science oriented, and I didn't realize any of this until like 2-3 days ago, where I read that she'd actually like gone into space and done surveys of the Mars and Saturn atmospheres and stuff like that, spent 8 hours up in space, and there's Shatner going, oh yeah, space was really nice. After spending like 10 minutes in space and then coming back down.
Yeah.
And then going, oh, I'm the first actor to ever be in space.
Oh, I wouldn't say
that. Nice to meet as that woman who was in space and appeared as a character in Star Trek.
Everyone started going at her, going, oh, but, or invalidating her experience because she was an astronaut and then an actor.
Oh,
and
my
Shatner was an actor and then an astronaut.
Oh, then again, also
you think the former would actually be better, but
it's so also remembering they changed the definition of astronaut. So if you're just a guest on the ship and don't do anything, you're not an astronaut anymore.
Yeah. Whereas she actually did stuff up in space and was recruited through Nichelle Nichols' program to recruit more African American women and women in general into NASA. And
so
flying back, that was an amazing episode for so many extra reasons.
Yes. Then plus she's on the Star Trek episode.
That's hilarious.
Brilliant episode. But one of the things I really wanted to talk about were the East. Well,
are we
back to Futurama. Yeah. We were never off of Futurama, but the foreshadowing on some of the episodes.
Yeah.
So there is an episode, it's one of the Niblonian episodes.
Is it The Wire of Fry?
I think so, yeah, which is about season 5. So, that one that's in front of Justin, just have a look.
I think it's in season 4, because there's a lot of storm.
Towards the end of season 4, then?
Yeah, The Wire of Fry.
Oh, there you go, season 4.
Yeah, season 4, episode 10.
Yeah, so it's right, there's an episode in that where he gets the chance to go back in time, like, he never went to the future, and he chooses to take it, and then it causes all of these issues. And I think Nibbler is the one who was actually tasked with making sure he went into that cryogenic chamber because he was going to help them in the future, so they had to get him there.
Ah.
But if you go back...
Scooby Puff Jr.
That's it. But if you actually go back to the first episode, that first episode where he's leaning back on his chair and he falls into the cryogenic chamber, you can actually see the shadow of Nibbler at the bottom of the chair.
And so
we went back, didn't we? We watched that episode and then went back to episode 1.
We actually saw the shadow.
We actually saw it. And
can't see his body.
No,
only the shadow.
Just the outline, but it's a definite outline.
Yeah,
and you can only see
it all the way throughout their episodes
and stuff.
A split second.
Yeah, you have to pause it to find it. But they knew on that very first episode that that storyline would happen that ended up happening in like mid-season four. And then things happen like one of the episodes I was going to pick for today, which was Second That Emotion, the first time they go down into the sewer, she picked it up. We already knew because we'd watched the episodes. But she turned around and she goes, oh, that man and woman there, they've got the same hair as Leela. Leela's parents are actually in that episode.
Right.
And it's still another season later where you discover she's not actually an alien. She comes from, like, underground sewer mutants and things like that.
It'd be horrible if anyone was going to watch this later on and we're just spoiling all of it.
This is, like, 15 years ago, I think.
I know.
Okay.
I'll put the spoilers warning.
Please put some spoiler warnings on there. There's stuff in there that they obviously map it out to a certain extent.
At least at a story level. We're going to have a story with this, we're going to have a story with that.
Yes, yeah, it's incredible. And there's certain scientific things that have come up as of Futurama. I don't have my facts in front of me.
It's the one where basically, what episode? They've got a device which swaps people's minds.
That's a great episode where they, like, swap bodies.
The
molecular transmuter or something like that.
And basically, once you swap people's bodies, you can't swap the minds of those bodies again.
It's
directly.
The equivalent of, like, The Fly and stuff.
But basically the point is that because they've got a machine where you can't swap the people's minds back directly, there's actually a theorem called, not a theorem, it's more just a proof, but it's called the Futurama theorem because it was introduced in that episode and proved in that episode to the point where if you freeze frame it, you can see the proof on the screen. All you need is two extra people and you can swap them back to their right bodies again.
Right.
If you can't swap them directly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. I can explain it, but I don't want to bore the audience.
It's a mathematical thing.
It's a mathematical thing that they've proven with the episode.
Yeah, I want to bring it up. It's now a proven scientific theorem that has been created through this show. Yeah, it's quite clever.
Yeah. Is full of little games like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a game. You know,
and they really, they study a lot of the sci-fi stuff that happens. They've really researched it. But I mean, they just kind of fob it off as a joke, but they actually do their research and they actually know what they're talking about. It's one of the more clever, even though the show doesn't seem like a clever show, but scientifically it's very clever.
There's a joke that me and Jeanette always have. It's about Babylon 5 novels. In one of the Babylon 5 novels, Mars is super hot. Because the author has no idea.
I think like the studios making it just commissioned these novels and the JMS had no say over the and they got writers that knew not even high school level science.
Oh no.
That was a common thing. I mean, if you look at Lost in Space, the comets that goes by, they're being boiled by as it goes by.
It's
terrible. So the science in a lot of these shows is so bad.
Babylon 5, the show itself was not so bad. They had NASA involvement something. Yeah, they did actually try and make sure the science was good and they didn't have scientific advisors on set.
Yeah, then again, it's just really stupid jokes. Like one episode where Fry, it's the future, obviously, and Fry goes, wait, what happened with global warming? And Leela goes, oh, nuclear winter cancelled that out? So I mumbled a bit. Nuclear winter cancelled it out.
Oh, nuclear winter
cancelled
it out.
That's a really good episode. So then they have the episode with the global warming and so then they just get a huge chunk of ice and from a comet and then just throw it in the ocean and it just cools everything down. But then the big chunk of ice they have to get just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But they've got Al Gore as one of the guest voices on the show. But then he uses that segment from Futurama on his Inconvenient Truth movie that came out years ago to talk about global warming. But I think Al Gore's daughter was one of the head writers on the show. So
he was
on there all the time, I think.
I'm just noting another stupid episode where it has so much garbage from the 21st century that they fell into space and so they need another garbage bowl exactly the same density because otherwise it will hit it in New York and destroy it. And because it's the future, they've now not been wasteful anymore. So basically Fry has to teach them how to be as wasteful as the 21st century was. Right. To create enough rubbish to create a rubbish garbage ball to
throw back at the.
It's such a good show. I'm so glad I could share it today. I'm so glad it's not a complete disaster like all of the other shows.
It's nice that you picked something.
That's the thing. That's why I picked Lex. So I can be the terrible one. You can get the good one.
And you did such a good job. Thank you for doing
taking
that for
the ball
me.
Off.
Yeah, I know, right?
Taking the hit for the team.
Yeah.
He Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy last year.
And that was a bit of a mutual decision, though, wasn't it? It was like everyone wanted that, and I went, well, I'll use that as my choice. So, yeah.
Angus, what meal is this? I would have thought lobster Thimidor, but yeah.
Never had lobster, so I can't really go with that one.
No. I was trying to think, isn't there an episode where we find out Zoidberg's species, what are they called? They're called lobster. I forget what they're called, but apparently they end up getting on a bat mitzvah. Like a bat mitzvah, but for Jewish robots. And then they let Zoidberg in.
Zoidberg's entire species is supposed to be Jewish.
Yeah.
Though, like, it's ridiculous. They're just there as the comedy relief. It's the only thing that I actually don't agree with.
Yeah.
With the entire show.
Sometimes you kind of watch it and you just go, oh, I don't know whether that's, you know.
No, it's terrible.
It's kosher.
And it's like the whole Zoidberg always wanted to be a comedian, but his incredibly Jewish father never wanted him to become a comedian. And so, yeah. And it's like, dude.
Okay.
This one's an interesting one because I've got the face of Fry looking at me right now. And I don't know why, but it's making me think of fries. So I'm literally thinking
no!
Burger and fries. That's all I'm thinking. I like an actual healthy burger, one that you get like at a pub
that
and stuff, and it's
exist.
Loaded with vegetables and pickles and all sorts
healthy.
Of glory.
Or just one of those healthy hipster spots where the burger costs like $20.
Grilled.
Yeah. And then like a nice thing of chips and then small salad off to the side, just a nice good pub burger.
Burger.
No, he doesn't say that.
Well, no one knows what your homemade burgers are like. So, you know, a good pub burger, and everyone knows what I'm talking about. So
you're laughing incredulously. What food
would you say
is Futurama? If you were to say Futurama is a food, what food would it be?
Space sticks.
Slurm.
Slurm.
Oh. Do you guys remember the space sticks from Woolworths? Mm. Like they were like lunchtime snacks? No.
Are they like fruit sticks?
No.
Or roll-ups?
No.
Or... No?
No,
like
they're just
snacks?
Like little chunks of whatever protein, I think,
oh
and that
God.
Was it.
Ooh.
And they're supposed to taste like chocolate, but they didn't. And they were awful, but they were my favourite snack because I was training to be an astronaut. And
of
that's
course.
What I think Futurama is.
Have you thought of something?
I think it might be bread with slime flavoured icing.
Slime?
It's like a future food.
Slime flavoured icing.
Mm. So like
what
wasabi?
Slimy, what is slimy?
You don't know what
like?
Wasabi is, do you?
Yeah, we'll go
if
with
wasabi. If it was
like
something
a...
you like, you'd have to say mayo because you put mayo on everything.
Mayo.
Green mayo.
Even just maybe a jam sandwich, just like a nice classic jam sandwich or something.
A mayo white bread sandwich, okay.
If we were to go through episodes of Futurama, maybe anchovies, because there's a very early Futurama episode.
Zoidberg's species made anchovies extinct because they ate them all.
They love them so
And so
much.
They have an auction. Fry realizes that he's all of the money he had in his bank account has all gathered interest over the last 1,000 years, and he's like this multimillionaire, so he buys all of this retro 20th century stuff, including the last can of anchovies ever.
Anchovy omelets.
He makes a pizza with anchovies on it because he says it's like his favourite food ever.
And everybody eats it at the end. They go, ugh, and he's like, yep, best pizza.
And
that
so
is
big.
Pizza, man.
Yeah, and it's all big Easter rest. And he says, once more. No, there's no more anchovies left. No, more.
No, more.
Okay, so what score, Mackenzie? What out of 10? What does Futurama get?
Hypnotoad's not a good idea.
27.
How much out of 10?
Oh, yeah, because...
Suspender says bad words, I would say I'd take away one. So 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10.
Score. Cool.
Really good.
Well done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's a good show, but Bender says bad words, so it's not 10 out of 10.
All right. And audiences now, I think it's pretty modern anyway.
Yeah.
It still
holds up. What, we've been watching it this year and you've been loving it, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yep. She's a huge fan of it now.
Mm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. As she should
pretty
be.
Pretty good indication.
Yeah,
children
yeah.
with a brain will really enjoy
yeah.
this.
Oh,
yeah.
A lot of episodes that are dated in terms of plot lines.
Yeah.
Like one of those was one of the episodes that was made in like 2000 was joking about Napster, which doesn't make sense anymore. And
yeah.
Was it was Kids Napster where they stole celebrities or something.
Yes.
Right.
But you can still get the gist without
yeah.
knowing what Napster
yeah.
is because it is kind of like a theme that still makes
yeah.
sense today, you know?
I don't know what Napster is.
Oh!
It's one of those old old programs which you could use to download illegal music.
It's kind of LimeWire.
Okay.
It was the thing that Justin Timberlake ended up bringing down.
Right. I thought Metallica brought it down.
I thought it was JT because he went crazy about taking it down and then played an entrepreneurial peanut in the Facebook movie, and the entire thing was like having a massive laugh because he was supposed to have founded Napster, but he was so against Napster.
He must
have been one of the many people that brought it down. Yeah.
Okay, so Futurama.
Mm-hmm. Well, did this inspire you to watch the rest of the series?
I think I might. Mm-hmm. I think I might watch some of it, yeah.
What's everyone been watching at the moment? Has anyone been watching anything noteworthy?
We've been watching the Series 7 Clone Wars. And last night we just watched the Ahsoka episode of Mandalorian.
Oh, you should watch Rebels and then watch the Ahsoka episode. Wow. Strongly believe it.
And then we started rewatching Good Omens.
Because season 2 is coming out soon.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. I just finished reading the book.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Which was really interesting to read the book and compare the TV series.
So you hadn't read the book before?
No, I haven't read the book before.
Yeah, because like, I read the book quite a lot. Mm. But when I was young, so it was kind of, the TV series was a good adaptation of it. It's just an excellent
adaptation.
Yeah, the only downside I was worried about was because the book kind of ends, not quite anticlimactically, but in a way that wouldn't work for Hollywood. So I'm really glad of how they changed the last episodes to make it end.
We were discussing that. Yeah. The film ending is quite good.
Yeah. That's what I was worried about the most, just because it kind of ends with Adam just saying, stop all this, and it stops. And I was worried it would fail with the adaptation, but the way they changed it was...
Yes, it was really good.
What are we watching next?
I think we're going to have a discussion.
I think Mackenzie's already chosen for us.
Yeah. There you go.
You could have Nightmare Before Christmas for next Halloween, and I'll do the Simpsons tree horror episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was Futurama, and we'll see you next time. And that's goodbye from the crew.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it.